Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, we're here today and we're going to continue part two of the message. How many of you know what the message was about? It was a W word. Whoppers. So we've been talking, we talked about wilderness, we talked about water, we talked about walls, and we just did an introduction last week talking about whoppers. And the whoppers are giants in the land. And we spoke with you just a little bit about getting us ready for the adventure that God has before us. Life is an adventure. And when it's a life following Christ, it is the best adventure ever. Amen. It's the best adventure ever. We need to understand that the enemy will do everything he can to reduce you and I to thinking very small about our destiny, but very small about our future, and very small about our purpose. You know, but we don't have a small purpose. None of you do. If it came from God, it's not small. It's great. He does only good things. And we need to understand that we have this purpose set up for us and our destiny, but we really need to be connected to the very destiny that he has. The enemy has one that he'd like to give you. The enemy has one that he'd like to give you. He'd like for you to believe the destiny that he has for you, which is death, hell, and the grave. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But guess what? We have a mighty Savior. We have a mighty Lord. We have a mighty King who delivered us from all of it. Now, we need to understand that God's getting us ready. How many of you know that we need to be ready? We haven't arrived. Tell your neighbor, we haven't arrived. See, he's still getting us ready. We may have a lot of knowledge. We may have a lot of maturity. We may have matured a lot through the course of our following God and our Christian walk, but we have not arrived yet. We're not perfected completely yet. So there's still work to be done. Tell your neighbor, there's still work to be done. Now here's the kicker. Ask him, are you doing it? Yeah, that's the kicker right there, right? Are you doing it? Are you doing it? I'm trying. I hear you. I'm trying. Let me tell you this, that the size of your opposition against you will indicate the size of the anointing that God is ready to deliver. So if you've got a big opposition, you got a big giant, you got a big thing. See, David went, he was just a little servant boy going to the valley. He's going to feed his brothers cheese and bread. And he went just as a servant. But he came out. He came out as a mighty warrior. Amen. See, the very place where he slew the giant was close to Hebron. Hebron was the place of God, but it was overtaken by enemies. Did you get that? Hebron was a place from God. That's where Abraham and Isaac and Rebekah and all those people, that's where they were buried. So it's the heritage that we have, God has, and he has in the land. Hebron is also the place where David was anointed king over Israel. And now giants are living there. Heathen. Big. Huge. Mighty. Demonic. Dark. And the things where God's supposed to be. That's the reason he said, I'm about to give you some land. I'm giving you some land that's overflowing with milk and honey. And I'm telling you, it is huge. It is huge. It's big. And I'm going to give it to you. But there's giants over there. And I want you to go get them. And I want you to go take it. I want you to go take the land because I've given it to you for your own possession. I've given it to you. See, when we perceive the enemy being bigger than God's provision, we're going to stay out in the wilderness. We're going to hang around here on the fringes and not really enter into the very greatness that God has for each one of us. How many of you have ever had the thought, I don't have a great thing to do? Be honest with me and raise your hand. While you're believing a lie, it's not the truth. That's not from God. But we need to understand that the size of our opposition will indicate the very size of the anointing that God is about to give us and the provision that God's about to let us have, that he has to give us. You know, every promise from God has a provision to be delivered. Every promise from God has a provision that's going to be delivered. Every promise of God. So you look through the Bible, and you have the personal promises that God has given. Every promise from God has a provision from God that's going to be delivered. Get that, wrap that, get that in your mind. Every promise that God has said. How many of you know that he does not lie, cannot lie, right? He's faithful to his word. He will do what he said he will do. He will complete what he said he will do. But yet the enemy is all the time telling us that now you can't, no you won't, no you never will. And it's all lies that the enemy wants us to take in and absorb and believe. And what God wants us to do is to go in, enter the land. You know, Jericho, we told you last week, Jericho was that thing that your praise brought down the walls and took down the enemy just because of your praise. I've had a few Jericho moments in my life that God just, boom, instantly just did away with it, just instantly. And then the others that I had to work at. I had to say, no. And Paul said, I die every day. Yes. Every day. Everybody say, every day. Everybody say the enemy has a plan every day for me. We have to die to that, die to this flesh, and die to this thing, and really live for God. Amen. Live unto God. Live with God. God in us and in you. So, but God will sometimes allow in his wisdom what he can easily prevent with his power. The big why. Why am I having to go through this? Why am I facing this? Why is this thing so big? Why is this thing so... He could easily take care of that with his power, yes or no. Yes. Easily do it. But he will allow it in wisdom. Why? Because he's wanting you and I to understand that the size of the opposition against us is only making us... I had 5-6 words I wanted to say at one time. If that all came out at once, I wouldn't even know what I said. See, the size of the enemy that is opposing us is preparing us for the greatness that he's wanting us to live out. It's true. So when he allows things in his wisdom, he'll allow it, but he can easily stop it. But he says, no. This is perfecting you. Amen. James said it this way. He said, don't be amazed that you're going through all these trials. What did he say about all the trials? Count it what? Count them all joy. Now, if you've perfected that, you need to come and talk to me for a while because I haven't quite perfected that one yet. Because I have some trials that come, and somehow or another I sort of get dislocated from the joy of it. And he says, no, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, when all these trials come by. He says, count it all joy. One translation says, pitch a party. So who's got a lot of troubles? You got a lot of trials and a lot of troubles. Who is that? Okay, what is your name, dear? Rebecca, I know you, don't I? Yeah. Yeah, I thought I did. Rebecca, we'll be at your house for the party. What time? What time you want us to be there? You said you got a lot of them. Well, we'll just come over to your house and help you pitch the party. Why is that? Because you do not focus on the trials. You focus on the celebration of who he is. And that he is the deliverer, that he is going to get you through. He's going to get me through. We're going to not just go through it as a survivor. I don't like that word in coming out of Christians. I really don't. We're not survivors. We're overcomers. We're more than conquerors. Huh? Well, I just barely got by. Well, then you didn't walk with God because he's not a barely get by God. He's not a barely get by God. He is one of those he's going to show you, and he wants you to perceive the very thing. You may have heard the promise, but you haven't seen what it is. You may have heard the announcement of God, but you haven't perceived what it is. And he wants you to be able to see it. He wants you to be able to know that God's a fulfiller of what he said he would do, no matter what it is. And these missionaries that are going to different places and all, they're going to a land that they're not from. But guess what? God's already there. God's already calling. Listen, God's already calling them to him. There. You get that? You need to understand that. God is calling you to him. There, wherever there is. And he has the work for you to be able to complete. The provisions are already made. Everything is, the resources are already there. Everything is there waiting on you for you to just step into the fullness. But now there's oppositions. There's a lack of money. There's a lack of this. There's a lack of that. All those are giants that we have to face. And say, oh, my God will provide. I don't know how, but I know he will. I know he will. I know he will. Amen. So that's what God is getting us all ready for. Already. By the way, promises are long-term for the future that links us from now to then. A promise links you from now to then. A promise links you from now to then. Do not forget his promises. Know his promises. Get to know his promises. Know his promises. And I had this written down too. I'll share this with you. We'll get to our notes. Hopefully. Do you know that your opposition has shelf life? But promises don't. I really do like that. Your opposition has shelf life. It's like this movie I was looking at. I think it's a 13th warrior, and they're about to be surrounded by all these guys, and there's just a few of these guys left, but there's a couple of hundred of them and all this. And they're thinking the enemy's going to attack in the morning, and they come and tell the king, says, no, they're attacking now. They're not attacking in the morning. They're coming now. And he just draws his sword, and it goes, shing. He said, it's a small matter. Well, I just love that kind of stuff. It's a small matter. No, they're coming. It's a small matter. Why is that? He knew his destiny. He knew his purpose. He knew what he was there for. And he knew he was willing to give his life to do whatever it was that God sent him to do. Oh, that's good, isn't it? No, I just want to live the Christian life on the fringes. Be careful. You will be swallowed up. All or nothing. All or nothing. I like that, brother. All or nothing. I vote for all. How about that? Well, we're going to be going into these things called the giants and all these. So everybody say the word. We're going to look at the ites. Tell somebody we're going to be looking at the ites today. Okay, let's look at this thing that God wants us to. Is this thing on? Nope. Is there supposed to be a light? In the name of Jesus. Okay. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all now. I saw the green light before I put my hand on it and pray for it. If I didn't tell you that, it would be something that was, deceiving. It'd be a lie. Who said that? Okay. No, really, I don't mind telling you. I mean, right when I did it, green, I said, in the name of Jesus, I knew it was going to work when the green light came on. You know, my wife tells me, say, you know, you get so real sometimes that I just don't know that people can handle it. And I said, people better handle real. It is the real that God looks at. He don't deal with fake stuff. Don't bring him a fake anything. Don't bring him no fake request. He don't deal in it. Mm-mm. Told somebody one time, said, you want a real answer? Yeah. I said, well, give him a real problem. Don't be sugarcoating this thing. That's not the problem. That's not the real problem. What's your real problem? Anyway, I'm getting off. That's a rabbit I chased. Anyway, Let's look at this thing. 1 Corinthians 10, we talked about this last week. These things happen, talking about the Old Testament, these things happen to make them an example for us. These things were written down as a warning and correction for us who are living in the closing days of history. You and I are living in the closing days of history. I think one Bible says, you know, for the end of the age or the end of days. You and I are living in the closing days of history while we're in the last days, right? He said, well, be careful. Understand that you need the whole Bible, you know, because what you see the Israelites go through. Oh, here you go. Now, you're going to really be wowed by my southern pronunciation of all of these words. I do know Hebrew, but it's all southern. I know a little Greek. She works at a restaurant about 2 miles down the road. All right. Look, over in Numbers chapter 13, verse 22, you have the guys going in to look at the land, and then they run across Anak, which was the father, and then Almon and Shishai and Talmai. I did pretty good with those, didn't I? He's the father, and these are all the sons, and they're all descendants of him. And what happens is they're all giants. All of them are giants. This is where all the giants, these were all the giants that you see in the Bible. They all came from here, they descended from him. So we need to understand that this is what they saw when they went in and says, hey, we can't, 10 of them says we can't do it. 2 of them says, hey, let's go get it. You remember we talked about the bad report last week, right? Give a good report of God's message. It's bigger than you, but give a good report of God's message. God can come through. God can do it. So anyway, so if those are the ones that said, caused 10 of them to say, nope, we can't do it, then we need to discover what it is that these represent, and we'll discover the others as well. Are you ready? Yes. You might want to take notes or get the CD or listen to it on MP3. Listen, Anak. It means to choke and to strangle. In other words, the enemy would like nothing better than to choke out your vision of your destiny and your promise of God. He'd like to choke it out and strangle it. Right? He'd like to do that. So that comes from the Father. That is to choke out, to minimize, and to cause you not to be able to breathe the very breath that God has for you. So the enemy right off the bat wants to choke it out. He wants to strangle it. Away, get you away from all of this. Are y'all with me? Yes. So one of the giants that you're going to face is the choking giant. He's going to try to choke you or strangle you from being able to breathe in the very things that God wants you to take in, and he wants to strangle that out of you. He wants to strangle the very life out of you. He wants to choke the very living out the promises out of you. He can't do anything about you being a Christian. He has no power to do that. But he's after your effectiveness of your witness and what you say and what you do. And he'd rather that be negative toward the things of God than positive toward the things of God. And he'll choke the very positive out and only give you the negative. And that's what he wants to do. So Anak is one of those that wants to choke out the thing. Almon. It means to block or to hinder. So now you've got another giant that is waiting on you that's going to block. How many of you started down a road of doing things for God and all of a sudden you ran into a roadblock? Guess what you're dealing with? Almon. All these things represent spiritually the spiritual dynamics of the opposition, the forces that oppose us as we go. They were God's enemies in the natural. They're our enemies in the spiritual. Do you understand that? They're God's enemies in the natural. And he says, I'm sending you so you can take it over. So we have to overcome this thing about this choking out of the vision, choking the vision out of us, and this thing that's going to block and to hinder. Right? So how many of you experienced some blockages and some hindrances in your walk? That's the one you're dealing with. That's the enemy of God. That's one of the enemies of God. So you begin to see that God saying, hey, I'm making you bigger, I'm making you stronger, and I'm making you better. Right. What? Have you seen the size of this dude? Have you seen the size of this thing that's opposing me, Lord? Shing. It's a small matter. Well, I've already given you the victory over it. Just walk in it. So y'all will run into things in the, on the mission field that will hinder. They're sent to hinder. You know, see, you're seeing this thing. That this is what you're dealing with. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. The next one, Shishai, means to whiten or to whitewash. That's interesting. Well, which one is that? That's something that's always painting something over here that is dead men's tombs, but yet they're putting whitewash in it to be able to draw your attention to say, that looks good. I don't know who's young and that is, but I'm going to take them wherever I go. But if you are, you get, listen. God, everybody say, God loves laughter. One of the worst things you can ever do is try to share the gospel. You won't be saved. Man, I've had a terrible week. It's been awful. Hey, I know the Lord. Do you want to be saved? You can know him with me. Joy. Huh? Supposed to have joy, have laughter. Yes. Laughter does good like a medicine. Some of you need to take some medicine. I'm looking at you. Yeah. You need to be able to lighten up, be able to have laughter in your life. You need to be able to look. How many of you can laugh at yourself? If you cannot laugh at yourself, you're in trouble. God sits in the heavens and laughs all the time. I bet he laughs at me every day. I'm his son. Look what that boy's doing. He ain't got a lick of sense to get out of the rain. And I've told him how to do this, but he ain't doing it. I mean, it's just like, I'll get his attention. Next thing you know, I'm looking at a giant or something. She's shy. To whitewash, to make it appear like everything, make it appear, oh man, this is great. Do what? A facade. Man, you're getting good over there. That's like that. I would have said facade, but I can't spell it, so that's okay. I'm messing with you. I really am. I'm messing with you. All right. So this thing about whitewash, You know, that's what that's what Jesus said. You know, they did to the tombs. Hey, you whitewash all this outside to make it look nice, but on the inside, what is it? Dead men's bones. So don't be taken in by all the whitewash stuff that won't. The enemy would rather have you take in a counterfeit, something that's not the original. And he's good at counterfeiting. The enemy is real good at counterfeiting. It's not the real thing. Watch out for the whitewash. All right. Tomei means to suspend. This is interesting. Means to suspend the waters, to heap up the waters with my furrows, with my ditches. In other words, what Tomei is and what he did, he would dig the ditches. Let's say Glenn's got all the water on his side and it belongs to him, but I dig the ditch so all the water would go toward me. So I'm wanting to take what God has given him and take it for myself and heap it up. The enemy wants to take what God has given you and keep it away from you so you can't use it. And you know, that's real. It's very real. So this enemy, what it does, it's you know, when you it's interesting. See, when we read these words, we just run right over them or go bloop and can't read it that good, you know, and we run right over them. But we never. He said, "Listen, study deeper, and you'll know me deeper. Study deeper, and you'll know me deeper." So he gave it to these enemies. Why? Because they all had names, they all represented something. God says, I want you to take over. I want you to overcome this. Right? So he would be the one that would be, or this would be a spirit or an entity that would want to take away the things of God and divert your being able to see what God has provided and only look at what your lack is. You know, when you only see your lack, you're not seeing the provision. How many of you know, when you have lack, it's one thing to admit it. Don't live in denial, which is a river in Egypt. Never mind. Where are you at? I'm in denial. Don't get in denial and begin to say, oh, no. Look what it is, but then look at the provision that God has given you. God has the answer for every lack that you have. God is the answer for every lack that you have. So here's the enemy. Here's the enemy that will dig things that will try to divert the very resources that you have. And he wants to be able to use the resources against you and not for you and not for God. Huh? Are y'all with me? Y'all learning anything? Okay, you want some more? You're a glutton for punishment. I tell you, you really are. All right, let's move on. When the Lord your God, here's a verse, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you. What's he doing with them? Who's doing the casting out? Yeah, watch that. The Hittites, the Girgashites. I had to listen. I went to a Bible pronounced thing, and I had to listen to it about 20 times before it ever got in me. Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites. Seven nations greater and mightier than you. They're greater than you, and they're mightier than you. Boy, that's encouraging. I'm sending you to a land that actually the perception in the natural was exactly what the 10 guys thought. He said, when we see the giants, we see ourselves as grasshopper. In the natural, that's exactly what you're going to see. Joshua and Caleb saw the spiritual aspect of it and said, hey, we saw the goods of the land. And he said, let's go get it. So let's go. You know, we told you the other day, said your gift of salvation is free, but everything else is going to cost you. All right, he says they're mightier than you. So let's look at some of these. Jebusite means to be trodden down. Everybody say trodden down. Trodden down. What's this spirit going to be leading you into? It's going to be leading you into depression. Man, I'm already on page 4. Didn't realize that. Who said wow? Man, I said wow. Well, we didn't even get to the first page last week. Wow. All right, trodden down means to those who are discouraged, overwhelmed, defeated with guilt, condemnation, shame, and the spirit of heaviness and depression. These people that had depression over here, you know what they're dealing with? The Jebusite entity that is wanting to depress and hold back the people, especially from your past. Everybody say, especially from your past. Especially from your past. I can't do that. The enemy whispers to you and says, what? You can't do that. Look what you did. You can't do that. You cannot do that. The enemy's always telling you what you can't do. God's always telling you what you can do. Y'all with me? So here's the enemy. Anytime you got something coming at you that says you can't do it, this is what you're dealing with. You're dealing with a Jebusite. Call it by name. Say, get out of here in the name of Jesus. And if you don't leave now, I'll just throw another rock at you. The Jebusite, being able to be trodden down, to be overwhelmed. How many of you have ever felt overwhelmed? Well, I'm just overwhelmed with this. This thing is bothering me so bad, it's just got me overwhelmed. This is what you're dealing with. All the enemies of God, all the enemies of God's people. And we're really not understanding it, but we're getting understanding today. Yes. Do you know it's the understanding of the kingdom of God that reaps the 100, the 30, 60, 100 fold? He said those that understand, not just know, understand the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. Everybody say gospel of the kingdom. Gospel of the in the gospel of the kingdom is the gospel of salvation. We cannot flip them. Unfortunately, in a lot of cases we have. We've called it the gospel of salvation, and that's all we give them. And we fail to give them the gospel of the kingdom. And that's what Jesus said. It's going to cause you to be fruitful. Understand it, not the understanding of the gospel of salvation. That's not what he said. He said it's the understanding of the gospel of the kingdom. And inside the gospel of the kingdom is the gospel of salvation. It's the gospel of the freedom. It's the gospel of healing. It's good news this morning that Tom heard from God and said, some of you are depressed, get on down here. That's good news. It's good news that God spoke and says, hey, if you got addictions, you're in a good place. Come on down here. We're not going to judge you. Right? Well, there goes the pastor. I wonder what he's addicted to. We're in a good place here. Why? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Actually, the translation of that, it actually says this in the original, where the Spirit is Lord, there's freedom. Where the Spirit is Lord. In other words, when he's taking charge, there's freedom. There's freedom. So we have this thing about the Jebusite being trodden down and being overwhelmed and being discouraged, leading us into a place of depression. We need to overcome this power of condemnation. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now. No. Everybody say no. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, period. Now, the italics on the side of it is put there by man. That's the reason it's italicized. It's not in the original. It's put there by man. You know what they were thinking? This is too good to be true. There is now no condemnation. So if you're in Christ Jesus, do you have condemnation? No. So if there's condemnation coming, guess who's bringing it? The enemy's bringing. He just wants you to buy into the lie that you're condemned. Buy into the lie that you cannot do this, you cannot do that, because you're divorced. You cannot do anything. You're divorced. You can't do anything for God. Boy, that is so not biblical. I had a discussion. Tom was there, I think. Was at a restaurant and was talking about that over here. And there was about five or six of us. And Tom was listening to the thing. And they were saying, no, you can't do ministry. Can't lead ministry if you've ever been divorced. And I said, I'm sitting there and I'm saying, really? Really? Yeah, nope. Can't do it. And I'm like, man, that's pretty tough. No, you can't do it. I said, well, did they just have to sit still? You just have to sit still. Can't do anything. Can't lead. Can't do ministry. Can't do it. And I said, listen. I'm sure you remember this, but I said, hey, listen. When y'all get in trouble and y'all need help, where do you go to get help? To God. And I said, can't go to him. He's divorced. Jeremiah 33 said he has given Israel a certificate of divorce. He's divorced. You can't go to him. He can't lead you. We're going to go look at that. You remember that, Tom? Yeah, we're going to go look at that. That's a good thing to go look at it. I don't know why I got off on that. Jebusite, trodden down. You have a different perspective when you're overwhelmed, because you're always looking at the bad things and always looking at the things that are interfering with you, and you get down about it. How many of you know that we struggle with that? We have to be able to say, I ain't messing with this Jebusite spirit. Get this thing off of me. Right? All right, let's move on. Girgashite. I had to think about it. Girgashite. Girgashite means the dwellers of the clay, dwellers of the marsh, compromise, living in the gray areas. That'll get you somewhere. Dwellers of the clay. They live life in the gray areas. It means having something midway. In other words, this is all, listen, I'm only going this far and no more. I'm not going any further. Well, guess what you just did? You just compromised. You just decided I'm going to live in the gray area because God has more than where you currently are. Amen? God's a good God. So he says, these, you have to watch out for these. If the enemy cannot get you discouraged and get you full of shame. By the way, shame is one of those things that he put the shame. He brought to put all the shame and disgrace upon him. So he does not want you to be bound up with shame. Or guilt. Did I want you? Will I have a lot of shame? Well, he took the shame, so don't have shame. Give him the shame because it all belongs to him anyway. Why? He bought it. So don't walk in shame. It'll bind you. It'll keep you from walking in places that God is wanting you to walk. So get rid of the shame. Why? Because he's taking the shame and he says, hey, I'm going to swap with you. This is what Jesus said. I'm going to swap with you. I'm going to take your shame and I'm going to give you my righteousness. I'm going to take your sin and I'm going to give you my righteousness. I'm going to take everything bad about you and I'm going to give you everything good about me, which is everything. Everybody say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, my question is, do you believe it or do you just want to just quote it and just have a good time talking? No, you have to believe it. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are. You're not going to be. You already are. He's given his righteousness, given it to you, so you are the righteousness of God. I was eating with some other pastors at one time and they were saying, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And immediately I said, I'm not. He said, what do you mean you're not? I said, I'm a saint. What do you mean you're a saint? And I said, that's what the Bible calls me because I'm a child of God. I was a sinner. I was saved, but I am today a saint. And I'm going to live out my destiny knowing who I am, who he says I am, and not what man wants to tell me that I am. Well, I'm just an old sinner. So, well, you know what it says? I'm just an old sinner. I'm saved, but I'm just an old sinner. You know what you're going to do? Well, you're just going to old sin everywhere you go. You're just going, I'm not. What are you doing over? Well, I'm stealing. Well, why are you stealing? Ain't you a Christian? Yeah, but I'm just an old sinner. Boy, that's really, hey, I know Jesus. Do you want to know him with me? Boy, the life. That, anyway, did I get on a soapbox? I'll get off and get back to teaching you. No, you're a saint. Everybody say, I'm a saint. Why, well, that's what I put Paul calls the saints of God. I have it, you know, if I don't have his righteousness, I'm nothing. But if I've got his righteousness, I am a saint. I'm a saint. I am a child of the living God. I am a child of God. We're singing, I am a child of God. I'm just an old sinner. Huh? No, say what he says. He says you're a child of God. He calls you a saint. He says you're holy and he says you're righteousness. That's what he says about you. Agree with him. No, I can't see that. I said, you don't have eyes to see it. Jesus said things and he said, he that has ears to hear and eyes to see. He's he that has ears to hear. Let him hear. The rest of you, guess what? The rest of us that don't want to hear, we ain't going to get it. And we're going to continue to live in bondage. We're going to continue to live in sorrow. We're going to continue to live in weakness. We're going to continue to live in all of these things that is not producing the fundamental principles of the kingdom of God that we need to be living in. I'm having a good time today. I hope y'all are. Okay, Canaanite means materialism, a merchant that depresses in trade. This is the dude that gets you hung up on materialism and gets you hung up on things, and it will get you to use devices that will get it even though it's shady. Even though it's shady. That depresses in trade. In other words, it'll, you know, yeah, there's one thing I appreciate about, and I know Terry Wilson, Pastor Terry, I've been knowing him a long time. He's been here a long time. One thing I appreciate about him and his businesses that he does, if he has something to offer and he sees that you can't afford it, He will not sell it to you. Even though you got money to pay him today, when he knows you cannot afford it on a long haul, he won't sell it to you. You know what he's thinking about? You. Now, that's integrity. I mean, it really is. That's integrity. But see, the Canaanite spirit won't do that. Canaanite spirit will bleed you dry just to be able to attain whatever they want at the risk of you. That's what the Canaanite spirit will do. It'll just bleed you dry. Do you know there's some evangelists, or there's some TV evangelists that has this thing on them? Care nothing about you personally. They just want your money. I'm not naming them any names. I don't know their hearts, but they are out there. There's some people that stand behind pulpits. All they want is a big crowd, and all they want is money. Don't really care nothing about you. It's real. It's reality. This is what's on them. Why? Because they're gathering in as much as they can gather in on possessions, and they want and they'll do anything they have to do to depress you in order to get what they want. Well, I done stopped teaching and started preaching, I guess. All right, what's next? The Hittites means terror. It actually means the sons of terror. It means bring violence and confusion and fear. So anytime you have fear and you have this thing of violence all around you and you have the terror that's striking your heart, this is what you're dealing with. Well, this is what the enemies, the people of God dealt with. They had to overcome every one of these enemies. They had to overcome every one of these clan that got grouped together to become the very violence and the very fear. You know, fear will paralyze you. I know that the missionaries are not operating in fear, or they wouldn't be going. It paralyzes you. It keeps you from going. It keeps you from going to do things. It keeps you from launching out. It keeps you from growing. It keeps you from expanding. Now, let's just stay right where we are and don't go any further. Well, that's called a slow death. Amen. We're here to advance the kingdom of God. We're not here to sit still. Hittites, violence, terror, confusion, spirit of confusion. God said he didn't give you confusion, did he? If you're confused, guess what? God didn't give it to you. You know, messing with one of these dudes. He's whispering stuff to you, telling you things that ain't true. Fear. Many of us will take the gospel of salvation, go into the kingdom, and not know how to operate because we do not understand that the things of the kingdom, because we've not been taught, not been discipled. Jesus did not tell us to go out and make converts. I'm going to go on this side and say that. Jesus did not tell you to go out and make converts. He told you to go out and make disciples. Do you know that Jesus discipled those guys before they were ever converted? That's an interesting thought. He blew on them in John 20:20, said, receive ye the Spirit of God. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. And this was after his resurrection. They couldn't be saved before he died. I nailed that one down. All right, let's move on. Parasites, parasites. Oh, this is good. Means to be opened and unwalled and wronged, uncommitted, unsettled, and a floater. I tell you, there's a lot of Christians eat up with this one. Why is that? They won't commit to anything. Not why. It's going to cost them something. And they'll be unsettled. But these dudes, they'd live out in the wide open. They wouldn't build walls. They wouldn't build anything. So they were just out in the wide open. They're free thinkers. Oh, we're just free thinkers. You know, well, maybe homosexual marriages are good. John, but you were just free thinkers. I don't know what God said. That's not what he said. No, they're not okay either. We don't need to be thinking, No. He sent you here to take a stand. He sent you here to be light, and he sent you here to be salt. You're going to burn a little bit. Amen. When you give them the truth, they're going to burn a little bit. Oh, I got more to say about that. But they're roamers. They just roam and won't plant down and won't get planted. Just roaming here, there, going here, there. Where are you going to church? I'll go all the places. This is what they're dealing with. Uncommitted, unsettled, and just floating around. That is not the way of God to float around. He tells you to be planted by the tree, and like a tree planted by the water. Get planted and let your roots go deep. Make a difference where you are. By the way, if you're here and you're trying to find something that you don't like, just come on by and I'll give you a list. I can tell you some things I don't like. I'm not here to talk about what I don't like. I'm here to tell you what I do like. I'm here to tell you what God wants, and I'm here to tell you that God wants to move us from this thing of not liking something and being, I didn't get my way, so I'm gone. It's more alive in the body than you care to think or that you care to believe. Well, I'm not getting along with them, so I'll just move on. I don't like this, so I'll just move on. Did you see the pulpit that they had up there? They took the other pulpit down and they put some grapes up and a little, I don't look like a pulpit. You may say, nah, yeah. It's out there. I've heard it. That's not a real pulpit. And I said, well, what is? So all of a sudden their church life, they're coming to church is about what? What this looks like. Okay, I gotta hurry. Unsettled, uncommitted. Now we want you to. Would you be willing to do this? We know you. Nah, I don't have time. Well, y'all know you've been coming for 20 years. Wouldn't you like to be involved? Nah, I've just been thinking. I'm thinking about it. Well, uncommitted, unwalled, roaming around, unsettled, just floating. I better move on. Amorites, pride, rebellion, being proud, proud boasting, bitter, rebels. And these are the talkers. These do all the talking, but do no other worky. Just do the talking, don't do the worky. Why? It's beneath me. Can I tell you something? I love you. I love you. Look, if when you leave today and you see somebody left out their newsletter, pick it up and just toss it in the trash. If you see something on the floor, just don't let it be beneath you to be able to pick it. A servant's heart is not your, it's really not your calling, but it's your heart to serve. When you see something that needs fixing, are y'all with me? Said, no, don't we pay somebody to clean the church? I want to say, yeah, we do. But self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, so I'm trying to practice that right now. No, I'm not that bad. I'm really not. But really, that's all you got to do is pick it up. See something in the bathroom? Take care of it. Why? It may be the very place that you find your anointing. It may be the bread and the cheese of your life that brings out a giant that you're overcoming, and your next step will be something greater. Why? Because you're not afraid to serve the Lord in the little things. See, a servant's heart is going to be the one that's going to serve. No, it's not beneath me to do that. I need to get off of that, but I just thought I'd tell you. While I'm there, can I just go ahead and just really ruffle your feathers? I'm going to. Listen. Listen, when we say we're going to start at 10:30, be here. At 10:30. Now they'll be stinging out. They'll still be singing about 10:45. We can get there about 10. Get there about 10:10. You know, if it was the President of the United States or some other person, you'd be here 30 minutes earlier. And this is the Lord we're talking about. Listen, be on time. Punctuality is showing high esteem for another person's time. Now, you know what I just did? I just ran the risk of running half of y'all off. No, really, we need, look, if it starts at 10:30, be here at 10:30. Or be here a few minutes earlier. Get to know each other a little bit better. Don't walk in at 20 minutes later after we've already started. Why? It's not punctual. It's not showing punctuality. It's not showing your, it's not showing how you really think about a service that involves God and his people. I'm going to leave that alone, but I wanted to say it. The Amorites, pride, rebellion, the talkers. Do you know I love you? I truly do. I truly do. But I want you to be, I want you to excel and grow. Bible says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Like I said, if you're supposed to be here at 10:30, be here earlier. It could have been that, okay, there was a call for God to heal something and you missed it. Never mind, I'm going to go ahead and say. All right, the Hivites, they're wicked in talk and they lie openly. And they know you know they're lying. Open lie, open deception. No, no, I'm a change like the wind. No, 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 I didn't say that. Yeah, I heard you say it. No, I didn't say that. You must have misunderstood. You ever run across any? Yeah, that's who they are. They talk wicked talk, and they lie openly. In other words, you can't count on these guys. They'll tell you one thing, do another. You know, a lot of Christians that are that way. They'll tell you one thing, but they'll do another. We got to get out of that, people. We got to listen to this word that says Jesus says, "Let your yea be nay, and you swear to your own hurt. If you said yes, even if it hurts you, you go do it." That's integrity. Amen. That comes from character. All right. The Philistine we talked about last week, to wallow, to roll around in the dust, to self-wallow, and by the way, Lee, are you here? Lee came to me after the service. He said, yeah, you said something about they only come at harvest time. I said, yeah, every time there's a harvest, they showed up. He said, you know what? When you start dealing with all this, you know what it means? I said, what? He said, there's a harvest just right there at you. And all of a sudden, he's wanting to get you down and get you in self-wallowing and have self-pity. All right, let's move on. I talked a little bit about that. The Midianites means contention, brawling, quarreling, discord, and strife. Interesting family right there. We'll jump up and down on somebody that drinks alcohol. I mean, but yet we'll be so much in discord. And he said, that's one of the things I hate, sowing discord among the brethren. He said, I hate that. See, strife, this thing about quarreling and not having contention, always wanting to argue about something. And having contention and having strife about, you know, concerning your brother, concerning this, concerning that, instead of having love. This is real, guys. Very real. Midianites. Brawling all the time. Contention. Quarreling. Can't ever get along. That's the enemy of unity. Unity is a land where you get to do the impossible. As long as the enemy can keep you in strife, you're not going to enter into the things of the unity. The Moabites means incest. Amorites means inbred. It means only relating with their own kind. Their own kin or their own kind. Now, in the natural, you can see how that happens, but we'll look at this in the spiritual. Though we're Baptists, we're only going to associate with the Baptists. We're charismatic. We're only going to be part of the, we're only going to, we're, are you getting this? We're only going to relate to the charismatic. We're only, you getting this? That right there is coming from that spirit. I'm only going to get along with the people that believe like I believe. Matter of fact, it'll do you good to get around somebody that don't believe the same way. It'll stretch you, it'll challenge you, and it'll make it get you to be able to where you can stand on something that God said. Yeah. Instead of just, well, this is not in the Bible. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Ain't in there. Amen. We believe a whole lot of stuff that ain't in there. All right. Then it goes on. It says the Amalekites means toil, depression, worry, misery, and weary. So anytime you have, I got to work, I got to get this thing done. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Watch this. For you have need of endurance. Everybody say, I've got a need for endurance. No, that's talking about somebody else. No, that's talking about you. You have need for endurance so that after you have done the will of God, how are you going to do the will of God? Because you haven't cast away your confidence in what he said. And you have, and that has caused you to be able to endure. And in enduring, it's caused you to be able to do the will of God. And in so doing, you will receive the promise. There's your formula. Can't throw away your confidence in God. Hebrews 10:35. The promise, with possessing the promised land, to possess means to seize, to get, to lay hold of, to grasp, to dispossess our enemies. In other words, once you get in, you run them off. When you get in, you run them off. Okay, here we go. He will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Watch this. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Don't rebel against what he's teaching you here. Understand it. He said, do not fear the people of the land, for read the underline. What did it say? They are our bread. They are our bread. Oh, we've got giants in the land? That's our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Let's go eat some bread. Y'all with me? Let's go. Why? They are our bread. You use bread every day. In other words, it's every day. They're our bread. But guess what? Their protection has departed from them. Do not fear. Be strong. Be courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't tremble. Courage is not the absence of fear, but the acquired ability to move beyond fear. Be courageous. Did you get anything out of this? I know it's 12:15. Stand to your feet. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for lingering with me. Let's go take the land, people. Let's don't settle for less than what God has already. Let's go take the land. Let's go enter into this thing. Yeah, there's oppositions. There are things that's rising up. There are greater things that we don't even know about that's rising up through our government and through the culture that is rising up against us. But listen, it's a small matter. We're here to take the land for God. We're here to take the kingdom. We're here to take the kingdom to places that are dark. Somebody say, well, no, it's dark over there. That's where we're supposed to go. Well, I'm afraid. Don't be afraid of the dark. Don't be afraid. Be courageous and understand that the enemies are already defeated. He said, I've already taken care of them. I just need you to be able to agree with me that they're defeated. Amen. Instead of agreeing with the enemy that they're alive. Yes. You need to study this. You need to read some more. You need to do some research, and you need to just get this stuff in you and understand that God is teaching us now to be able to not be ignorant of the enemy's schemes. Don't be ignorant of the enemy's schemes. This is a good day. This is a good day. This is a day that God opens his words and begin to illuminate by the power of the Holy Spirit so you and I can understand who we're battling against and who is our oppositions, and then we can overtake them and be able to take back what it is that the enemy has stolen from us. See, Hebron was a place of anointing, place that the heritage of God was, and it had to be taken back. Why? Because the enemy had moved in. So let's say, let's put him on notice. And I'll just tell you, like the Word of God says, let's go eat some bread. They're our bread. Why? The enemy has no understanding that what he's using against us is only going to make us bigger inside the Lord. It's going to be his downfall. And when he sees, he's already had a downfall, but when he begins to see the very things that he raised up to be able to take you out, God took it and used it for our good. And God will actually say, did you know that what you did, I can hear it. Did you know that what you did to my children only served to make them better? No, that's going to be torment for him. All right, I'm done. I'm talking to you. I love you. I really do. What time are you going to be here next week? I didn't let that slide, did I? Grab somebody's hand next to you. We're one family. God, we thank you that the richness of your word, the depth of what you have inside, the word of God is teaching us. You're just pulling back the things and showing us the things that we need to know so that we can rightfully walk with you. Because of Jesus Christ, we're righteous and we're just walking in our destiny. We ask you to bring it to the fullness of its potential in our lives. And the Lord, we will not remain where we are, and that our horizons would be bright with your face and your glory, and that our boundaries would be expanded, and the territory in which we go, which our feet are setting upon, Lord, will be land that is given to us. Not natural land, but the land of the Spirit. God, that we will make a difference no matter where we go. So God, thank you again. We love you. We adore you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.